and welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Tea. It's so nice to have you here in the new year. It's a fresh start and I'm really looking forward to seeing what this year holds for us. So this episode is going to be all about what 2021 is going to look like for us. Obviously, we're starting this year in slightly unusual circumstances because we're going into the second year, per se, of coronavirus, which is not great and quite worrying in a lot of ways. But I really think that there is so much good and so much hope and so much joy in this world that we're going to get through this year. And I think that it actually could be a really, really special year. I'll probably do a reflection on this at the end of the year, just so we can have a look back and see what it did look like. But I'm really looking forward to this year, and I hope that you are too. I just thought I'd say that I'm starting this podcast with a lovely cup of matcha tea. I'm really, really into matcha at the moment. I don't know why, I'm just obsessed with it. This is the Pure Chimp matcha that I've got. So it's literally just like a classic matcha. But I do have a lot of Bird and Blends matchas, and they're like a selection box that you can get. And I got that for Christmas. So they're really good as well. But yeah, just if you wanted to know, that's what I'm drinking. Something I found really interesting this year that's just gone, so 2020, at like the end of 2020, and I guess through like a lot of it, it was a really tough year in so many ways for so many people. And everyone was talking about like, oh, I can't wait for 2020 to be over, like I can't wait for the end of 2020, you know, like, and I really, really understand that, and that message definitely resonates me, because like I love the new year as a way to like restart. I think it's a really good way to grow, because you have like that line of, you know, we can close that chapter and here is a new chapter. So yeah, I really understand that and I think it resonated with me. But the thing I found interesting was I was quite eager not to get myself in the mindset of like, oh, like go away 2020, like we don't want you anymore. The reason being is that, you know, we were so eager to rid ourselves of 2020, and then we all have like this sudden realization that we are still in a national lockdown and we can't say for sure when coronavirus is going to end. So I definitely was at the start of, you know, this sort of new year celebrations going like, oh yeah, 2020, like I don't want anything to do with it. But now I've sort of just tried really hard to remember, and I did especially coming into the new year, to remember like, you know, things still aren't back to normal, and that's okay, and that's probably a good thing because we need everyone to be at home and to be safe in order to protect vulnerable people and to protect our National Health Service. So yeah, it's one of those really interesting ones where like for the first time ever we've been able to say like, oh yeah, let's just get rid of this year, because I think everyone gets that towards the end of the year, like, oh, new year, new me type of thing. But we couldn't actually, because we're still living, you know, the same events, the same world events, of yesterday, today. But you know what, I think that's okay. And I think that it's just about like acknowledging that, you know, not everything's gonna go our way this year, and that it might be tough in a lot of places, but equally there is a lot of good that's gonna come. I also think just in relation to, you know, the new year and ridding ourselves of 2020, I think that that was like especially hard for university students. Obviously everyone has their own things going on in their life in different ways that coronavirus has affected them, but like personally as a university student, I thought that it would be really hard for people, you know, talking about ridding themselves of 2020, because we were then told that we couldn't go back to university until February the 22nd, which sort of put like an instant downer on the new year. So not only was it like the reminder like, oh no, we can't because we're still in lockdown, there's still a pandemic, but then people, you know, couldn't go back to university to see their friends. And yeah, I think that has been really tough. So I think that we just need to have a lot of like understanding and patience with ourselves this year, with one another always, but like with ourselves definitely, and just, you know, recognize that this is, in the words of the government, an unprecedented time. So yeah, I really feel for everyone who has had New Year's blues already, because I think that lockdown blues plus New Year blues is alive and thriving this year in particular. However, that doesn't mean that we're going to let this year be a failure almost. I think that this is going to be a year of real positivity. And I don't mean like sort of like toxic positivity where you're overly optimistic for the sake of it and you feel terrible about yourself having down days. So like, you know, saying, oh yeah, I'll book a holiday for April because I'll be able to go away then. Like in my mind, like it's somewhat like a sort of, you know, an overly optimistic view, and you're going to let yourself down by doing that, because although it's nice to have hope to put everything into it and like put money and time into like booking a holiday, I mean obviously I would never be able to do this anyway because I don't have the money, but if you were in that position, like I think that is like, that's quite bad for you. And the same way, yeah, as I said, you know, if you try to be optimistic all the time, always really really happy, and then you'll feel so bad if you have a day where you don't feel great and you just feel awful, and it almost exacerbates the symptoms. So I think that I can fall into that trap sometimes. I've been really trying not to go to that place, because it's so awful to just like beat yourself up for feeling what you feel and, you know, and it's very normal. I mean, like, I don't mean that sort of toxic positivity. I mean a year when there are like no career expectations, like there's no pressure to get that internship or to get on a master's course or to move out from home. Like we know from 2020 that as much as we try, some things aren't going to happen. And I've seen that, you know, I've seen friends and loved ones my age, like have placements cancelled, like not be able to return to university, lose their jobs. You know, older people that I know, you know, really struggle to be able to look after their families because they've lost their jobs or they've been furloughed and they're not really sure what they're doing with their time. Like it's really hard. And I think that this year there are just no expectations. I think that, you know, these goals, like career goals, are important. If that's your goal in life, like if you want to, you know, have a really great job, or if you want to do this or that, like that is a good thing to have. I have career goals and I think they give us direction, definitely. But I like to think that 2021 is like the year of we-centered goals as opposed to like solely me-focused goals. So I think I have already spoken about this book. It's called We. It's by Gillian Anderson and Jennifer Nadell. And it's a really beautiful self-help book, and it grounds you and helps you to start looking at the world around you as like your family and community rather than competitors who you need to beat. And I think that it's a really important book, especially now because we are all in this together. And we have been for nearly a year now. I read We, I think, in 2019 till 2020. And it was sort of like, I spent a few months on it because it's just one of those books that you need to really like think about and take time doing all of the exercises. And it was so helpful. And I think that it's given me a really great basis to sort of feel like I'm in solidarity with friends, family, even people I don't know, especially during the pandemic. I think that 2021 means that like books like this will allow us to develop and grow as people, and like to free ourselves of trauma and old grudges that we're holding on to. And like the benefits of this internal work help our friendships and our relationships too, as opposed to us just feeling the benefit of like resolution from, you know, our past. And I think that's really important. I think that now more than ever, it's going to be these sort of coping mechanisms that help us get through 2021 and don't just like, you know, make it one of those years like 2020 where everyone sort of writes it off, but it's a year of hope and of love and of joy. And it's, you know, not just like a write off, oh yeah, like let's get rid of it year. I really don't want that to be the case this year. So, in terms of like resolutions, like putting this into practice and also putting things into perspective, I don't know how well your resolutions have been going. I've actually been doing pretty well with them, and I have noticed a difference in my outlook on life compared to last year. I definitely think this is because like I have more time to do things, like there's far less stress because I'm just at home at the moment, finished exams, so I've got like a 2-week period where I can really like focus on looking after myself, which is great. And I feel like I notice more like positive small things, like everything is sort of better. And I notice, like, you know, just going for a walk beforehand, I think probably if you look at like progression over time, I'd say maybe if I was like 16, I would have gone for a walk and been like, you know, I'm going for a walk, not really thought anything of it. Then maybe like a year or two ago, I would have gone, oh, I'm going for a walk, this is nice, and I would have thought about it in my head, and now I actually vocalize it. I go for a walk and I'm like, this is beautiful. I'm like, I feel so lucky to be able to do this. And it's not even like, I'm trying to say it, like I'm trying to be appreciative. I genuinely feel that way. I feel so in touch with nature and the world around me at the moment. And I think that is definitely in part because of like the work that we've all had to do over the pandemic to look after ourselves and like to preserve ourselves. And I didn't want to shrink away and like lose my character. So a big part of it has been like trying to reconnect with nature and trying to almost like come home to myself, which has been really lovely actually. And yeah, it's been great. And I've also think that like it's not just a positive thing. Like I've been really honest and open about like healing trauma and like forgiving myself, because I think for years I sort of had a lot of repressed memories, and I think we all do, and we don't really notice it until they suddenly come up. And then towards the end of the first lockdown, I started realizing like, oh my goodness, like there's so much stuff coming up. Like I would just have like flashbacks to like things I didn't even remember happening, and they were so horrible. And like there were times where I didn't feel secure, and I was just like, oh my goodness, like, I can't believe this is just suddenly coming up now. And it's been hard like to try and work through it. And I spent so much time like being resentful, like really trying to work through the resentment I felt towards myself and towards like, you know, people who were in my life, who are in my life. And it was really hard, but it was so worth it. A big part of that has definitely been like writing a journal, and like that has really, really helped me. That was one of my resolutions, like to just try and keep a journal, like to try and keep track of my thoughts and stuff. And I most of it's positive. And I saw this actually in a YouTuber's video. Her name's Lucy Moon. She basically was speaking about journaling, and she was saying that she really doesn't want her journal to become really negative, because then every time she goes to pick it up, she feels like, oh, this is so heavy, like this is so much, this is so emotional. And it's hard to like get out of that place where you're not writing about the deep stuff anymore. And I really took that into consideration. But so far I think I've done a really good job of like keeping it mixed. Like, you know, if I am thinking about something quite deep and quite personal, then I'll write it down. But then also, if I have a really good day or something great happens, then I'll write that down too. So on Sunday, there was snow, and the day before I'd had like a bit of a blip. So I just wrote it down, and then the next day I was like, and this has happened, and like, you know, everything is good, and I'm reminded of why like life is so abundant and so beautiful. And it's so great. So like what I do when I, especially if I'm feeling resentful, or like I'm feeling something intrusive has come up, some memory that I've repressed, I write down like the grudge or whatever it is, or the moment in my life that's like holding me back. And I then write after it that like, I forgive the person who hurt me, or I forgive myself for hurting myself, or like for making a mistake. Like I know it wasn't intentional. And then I'll say, I'm allowing myself to heal, and I'm allowing love to heal that wound, to make me feel emotionally and spiritually better, but also to allow myself to be kind to those around me rather than carrying this baggage into friendship. And it's almost like setting yourself free. And any time, I think there's been like one time where like the resentful thoughts have come back, as in like not about a specific situation, but like let's say like, you know, something's happened and I've written it down, and then I've moved on from it, and then it will come up again. And then I just remind myself, like, I wrote it down, I've let it go. And that's all you can do, I think. Like, it's, I don't know if there are any other techniques, but I found that it is really working. And yeah, like, it's not foolproof. Like, you can't just write something down once and trick your brain, but it's like reminding yourself, like, no, you made this commitment to let this go. And then like there's an ease again, like you feel easy and you feel light again. So I really, really recommend journaling, even if you haven't got things to get through. Like even if you're some like magical being that's like worked through all their shit, like I really recommend it. It's so, so helpful. I would say these are like very spiritual ideas, and I know that we all have bad days, like, which is really normal, but this is just about like putting things into perspective. And I found that it really, really helps. However, like I don't want to just put down, you know, having a positive outlook on 2021 down to journaling. I did have like a recent very real reality check, which I would say almost like snapped me back into real life, because I find sometimes I really get caught up in my head or like worries, and I mean, I won't go into too much detail about this, but basically, someone who is sort of like a friend of a friend, like we have a lot of mutual friends, had a brain bleed, I think, 2 weeks ago now, two and a bit weeks ago, and has been in a coma since then. She is like around my age, so I think she's like in her early 20s, and she recently got married in 2020 of all years, and like she finished a degree, she went to the same university as me, and like her life is like, you know, just starting. And yeah, so she hasn't woken up and she hasn't really shown many signs of movement. I think that they're 100% sure that like there are signs of life. You know, she's breathing without a ventilator, she has been able to move her toes a couple of times in like reaction to like sort of like pain stimulation, just to see how to test like her nervous system. But yeah, she's obviously not very well, and her family can't even see her in the hospital because of the pandemic, because we're all in lockdown. And this really resonated with me. At first I was really shocked when I heard about it, like I was really like, I didn't know that that could happen. And then I cried a lot for her, and it was such a, like, I don't know, it was half crying and then half like, I guess, like praying as well, just like for her to live and for her life to be full and like for her to do everything that she wants to do. I've been thinking about her a lot, and like there's been like so many people who've been so supportive of her family, and like they do like 24/7 prayers, like people are praying like all hours of day all around the world, like for this girl, and it's so deserved and so necessary, because this is such an uncertain time that like something like this happening to your child, I can't imagine like how her parents are feeling and how her husband is feeling. You know, they've only been married a few months, and it's just, yeah, it's just awful. But it really made me think, like, you know, this is it's so important that I think about life as more than just, you know, this happened once and it made me sad, so I'm going to think about it forever, or, you know, oh, I can't do anything at the moment because of the pandemic and that's making me sad, so I'm just going to wish away my life. It is so hard, but feel like I'm in such a privileged position whereby, you know, the pandemic hasn't been that bad for me, or for family or for friends, in like comparison to other people, that we just need to make the most out of it, and we need to have a positive outlook on life, because otherwise like we'll really struggle to get through this. And yeah, this poor girl, I do believe that she will get better, like I do. There's a part of me that is just like so, like, not even like hopeful, but trusting that like she will be healed and she will live her life. But you know, that aside, it's just a reminder that we do need to see life within a pandemic as life, full stop. Like, this is still life, like everything is still going on, you know, the world is still turning, we're still aging, and we can't just take it for granted. And I think that really spurred me on to properly try and live this year in like the best way that I can. I already had that intention, but that was almost like that news and the sadness that has been surrounding her poor family, like, really made it clear that I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do this year. I just want to be positive, and I want this year to be full of love. So then in the sort of response to that, you know, something which is so just sort of surface level and not even a big deal, I got like a rejection for a placement that I'd applied to. And, you know, that happens all the time. I've been rejected from a couple already, and I haven't really been that bothered, but this one, like, it came through. And my instant reaction was like, oh, that's, you know, that's a bit of a shame. And then I was like, you know what, like, it doesn't matter. And I applied to something else as well. You know, I think that having that mindset, I instantly just thought, like, is this a big deal? And although I got through a couple of rounds and it was the last round that I didn't get into, I really wanted this placement. I was like, what's more important? You know, sitting here and feeling sad about it, about something that isn't meant to be and was never going to happen, because like it wasn't, like it was just written that way, it wasn't fate, it wasn't going to happen. You know, why should I mourn it when I can pick myself up, like write another placement application, go for a walk in this beautiful world and enjoy the life that I have. And so that's exactly what I did. And again, like, you know, I did feel a bit sad about it, but like I realized that it's so much more important to just appreciate everything that I do have, and ultimately it doesn't matter, you know, like it's not a big deal for that to happen. And I'm sure, you know, for me that wasn't like a huge thing. I'm sure there are so many other things that you'll probably be going through, or like friends or your friends or family will be going through, that are far more, I guess, like deep and big to deal with. But just like remind yourself, and in gentle terms, like remind them that even if something not great happens, or even, you know, if they don't finish this year with the career success or like financial success or whatever it is that they wanted, like just remind each other and remind yourself that you're just lucky to be living like a beautiful life, and you're lucky that you have so much like control over, you know, over what you can do, even though we're inside at the moment, like we have so much control over the over what we make of our lives. So yeah, I just think that's quite an important reminder to for this year, like to focus on everything that we can do as opposed to what we can't. And also, I thought I would just say as well that there are things to look forward to this year. This is sort of like a bit of a politics segment, and I'm hoping to speak about this because I think I would like to speak about politics on maybe the next podcast. I mean, let me know what you guys think, whether you'd be up for it. But yeah, the good things to look forward to are the vaccine is saving lives, which is amazing. You know, people are being protected, vulnerable people are going to be safe, and that is so, so important. The national lockdown is hopefully deterring more people from breaking the rules. Obviously, everyone has their reasons, and I actually had a conversation with a friend about this. You know, I would never judge someone for going to see someone they needed to see. Like, you know, you don't know someone's circumstances during this lockdown, and if someone has to go and see a friend or like their partner or something and be inside with them, like there is absolutely no judgment from me. But in terms of people having parties and meeting up in big groups, which I think maybe is harder to justify than, you know, going for mental health reasons to see one person, I think that it's really good that there is national lockdown, and you know, people will be and are not going out and not breaking the rules as much as they were previously, which is great, as it will help the NHS, and hopefully lockdown will be able to be eased earlier. Another great thing, Joe Biden is now the President of the United States. He was sworn in, I think it was last Wednesday, when his inauguration was, which is amazing. I'm so pleased that Trump has gone, as I'm sure you are too. I saw this morning that Biden has now reversed the transgender military ban that Trump put in place, which is absolutely amazing. Like, I'm so glad that things are sort of getting back to normal in America, whatever normal is. Also, Kamala Harris is the vice president. She is the first Black and Asian American female as well in that position of office, so I'm thrilled about that. I've been reading Kamala Harris's book. It's called The Truths We Hold, and it's amazing. It speaks about her background. Her mother's Indian and her father is Jamaican American. It speaks about like having parents who are very, very, very intelligent. I think both her parents were scientists, or at least her mum definitely was a scientist, trying to work in cancer, and like she's just so inspirational, and I love learning about her family and like how much they mean to her and how much they've supported her. And you could really see at the inauguration, I don't know much about Biden's family aside from just sort of like general knowledge, but it was so amazing to see at the inauguration like Kamala Harris's you know, stepchildren and her husband and like his ex-wife and her sister and niece and everyone. Like, it was just amazing. So I'm really, really am so happy about that. And I also just want to say, like, you know what, this year, like, there is so much of a need to recognize that there is love around us. Like, there really is. Like, I want my year to be full of love and of giving back, like, to people I care about, to people even I don't know, like, just to help those in need and to like share a message of hope, you know. I'd really love to know your thoughts on this and like what's going on in your life, so let me know and drop me a message. I think this episode was definitely like a more spiritual one, I'd say. But yeah, I'm hoping to get onto some more like politics topics and things like that, just because I'm really interested in that. And I think it'd be cool to do a bit of like research and then chat about it. So yeah, let me know what you think about that coming up. And also, I really wish you like an amazing year. As I said, I'd like to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to do at the end of this year like a reflection on what's been happening, so we can like look back on this podcast. And hopefully, if you also want to get involved in like, you know, a year of love and a year of positivity and like thinking about we and the community and the collective, then you can let me know your experiences, and I'd really love to like chat to someone about it on the podcast, or even if you don't want to, like just to read out like what you've been thinking over the year. And yeah, I think this is good. I think this podcast could hopefully like be nice and intention setting for the year, to show what we want to do and like how we want to live this year. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to me on this slightly dreary afternoon, but you know, we've just had snow, so it's all well. I hope that you have a really amazing 2021. I'll say it now. Look after yourself, look after your loved ones, like be there for each other, support each other. And I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next time on Afternoon Tea.